Microsoft is continuing to release new on-premises versions of Windows Server, Exchange Server, SQL Server, SharePoint Server, and more. Officials have not provided a target date as to when the company will force customers permanently off these on-premises wares and to the cloud. But do not be lulled into a false sense of security here. One of Microsoft's biggest priorities, as we all know, not just for 2025, but beyond, is to get more of its customers to migrate to the cloud. And it continues to introduce disincentives for those interested in its on-premises products. It's time to face the music. It's increasingly risky to maintain on-premises software. Welcome to the Directions on Microsoft Briefing podcast. I'm Mary Jo Foley, the editor-in-chief here at Directions. I'm the host for this series of podcasts for those interested in Microsoft's enterprise IT ecosystem. Today's episode is about on-premises software risks, and my special guest for this episode is Directions analyst Andrew Snodgrass, who recently authored a report on this very topic. Andrew analyzes and writes about Microsoft's data management, business intelligence, ERP and CRM software products, as well as aspects of licensing. Before joining Directions on Microsoft, Andrew was the vice president of IT for a global Fortune 500 company where he directed overall IT activities and strategy for the company's global operations. Hi, Andrew. Thank you so much for doing the show with me today.
Yeah, thank you. It's always good to be here.
Okay, let's talk about your report. In that report, you noted there are still some legitimate reasons for customers to be running on-premises software. I think it would be great if you could talk a bit about that. Not so long ago, more than a few customers insisted they could run software themselves better than Microsoft or other cloud vendors. Is that still a big reason why some still cling to their on-premises Exchange servers?
Yeah, I think it is. So, you know, the idea that a customer could run software more efficiently or, more importantly, for a better cost than Microsoft mm-hmm. or any other cloud provider for that matter, is very possible. It's not for everyone and not everyone can, but it's certainly something many customers are coming to realize. I think in some situations, the ability to sit on a server and software for five or more years or however as long in your depreciation schedule means that the customer can potentially reduce their annual expense by stretching that out. And that's compared to what Microsoft provides and what they have built into their cost, right?
Right.
But I think there's also other reasons why some customers prefer running their software on-prem. And I've had some of this in my own backgrounds. You know, there are environments that need some kind of air gap network or an on-prem deployment where the server has to run locally or in an isolated mode. You know, and if you think about a power plant or pharmaceutical facility or some site like that, mm-hmm. you know, no connectivity is allowed to the rest of the company and certainly nothing allowed to the internet, right? And so they have to be isolated. Mm-hmm. But I also think we have a lot of customers who want on-prem control for performance reasons, or maybe because they've done some kind of weird customization, right? So like we got a lot of customers who have manufacturing facilities, right? Factories that are out there. And when you have manufacturing equipment, it has to be monitored in real time, okay? Not in near real time, like you get with the cloud, but in real time. Okay. So you have to know how it's working. There's all kinds of gauges and stuff on these pieces of equipment. They generate all kinds of data that you have to analyze in real time and react to and shut equipment down or change flows or any kind of thing like that. If you were tied to the cloud and you had to send that data to the cloud and get a response back, it's not going to be quick enough. And if there's a connectivity break, it could actually be dangerous. So in a lot of scenarios, I think there are situations where the server and the machine learning processes and any other software really need to be in the next room from the processes that you're actually running. So I think there's legitimate reasons.
Okay. Despite that, there are visible signs Microsoft does not want to encourage customers to stay on-prem. So I'm curious what you consider some of the biggest red flags that should give customers pause when they're deciding, should we go on-prem or should we go to the cloud?
Well, if you have an option on it and you just prefer to stay on-prem, I think there's three big concerns that that people ought to look at before making that decision, right? There's security, there's communications, and there's people. Now, Microsoft always updates their cloud services first, right? Whenever there's a bug or a security problem, we've seen that for years. The update for on-prem comes later, right? And so that means if you're going to do on-prems, the security threat that is identified in the cloud and is remedied in the cloud is not going to be immediately available. A resolution is not going to be immediately available for you on-prem. And that means that an on-prem customer is going to be left exposed until Microsoft gets around to updating them. Okay. And there's also the difficulty in planning what to work on next. You know, from an IT department, we like to plan things out, we like to budget, but the roadmap for Microsoft on on-prem software is poorly communicated, if communicated at all. The new versions rarely come out when they're promised. You know, and that's across SQL Server, Exchange, SharePoint, and all the rest. Okay. Right. So it's really hard to plan for the future when you're on-prem. But one of them that I think doesn't get enough attention is the idea of ongoing support. And this is both at Microsoft and for the customer's own staff. Now, if you think of IT people, right, and IT vendors, they all want to secure their future and have a career and keep moving forward. And so a lot of them are abandoning the on-prem world because it has such a small, limited future. And those who do stay around are going to realize that they've got some uniqueness there, and they're going to start charging more, just like we've seen, you know, with past mainframe-related people. So I think there's some risk. If you have an option between cloud and on-prem and you want to just stay on-prem, realize that these risks are there for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I was chuckling when you were talking about lack of clarity around what's coming next. That's for sure. We've really had to badger Microsoft to get some answers about things like what's going on with Skype for Business Server? What's going on with Exchange Server next?
Well, I'm not even sure they know all the time. I think they're waiting for somebody in upper management to make a financial decision and decide if it's going to exist or not.
Yep. I think you're not wrong there. So there are some brand new on-premises server products coming from Microsoft later this year. We've got Exchange Server SE, we've got Skype for Business SE, and luckily they are arriving in the nick of time because the current versions of those products are leaving support this fall. So what do you think customers need to know about these new releases in terms of what's different feature-wise and licensing-wise?
Yeah. So let's set the stage on it. You said Exchange Server SE and Skype for Business Server SE. There's a lot of these SEs coming out. The SE means, for anybody listening to this, is a subscription edition. Okay, and that's what the SE stands for. It's kind of Microsoft's way of moving from the idea of a version number or a year number and coming up with some kind of an evergreen product. Okay. And this is one where they're going to release this subscription edition version, and they won't do any more increments on version numbers after that. You'll have to buy a subscription and stay on it in order to keep using this product. All right. And so this is really a death toll for the original perpetual licenses of the past. Okay. We're going to have to go to where we're paying Microsoft an annual fee. We already have to do that when it's in the cloud. Now we're going to have to do it on-prem. So the old days of buying software and running it, I think, are officially over. This idea of these SE versions, they'll be the only future destination for on-prem. And that means when your current version dies, and we're seeing this right coming up this autumn, you've got it with Exchange Server and I think with SharePoint Server it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As soon as these versions die, you will stop receiving security updates. The product will become vulnerable. If you're in an industry where you have to have currently supported software, you're going to have to move off of these old versions when they retire and are no longer supported. And that means you will have to go to an SE version if you're going to stay on-prem. And that means you'll have to start paying Microsoft a subscription every year. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you mentioned Exchange and SharePoint or Skype for Business, but there's also SharePoint SE.
Yep.
And, you know, even if you take a look at Windows Server 2025, that has a subscription option, right? So you don't have to go perpetual. And Dynamics 365 Operations is only available in subscription. And there's always a chance that we might have a SQL Server SE version show up next. Now, that's complete conjecture. I don't know if it's going to happen. Microsoft hasn't admitted it, but SQL Server 2025 coming out later this autumn, you know, that could be an SE version. So we'll have to see.
Right. Yeah, I think that is definitely the path forward. Everybody who's running any kind of server on-prem should expect SE is in your future. All right, let's take a quick break here. So I can talk about YouTube, which is kind of weird, but did you know Directions on Microsoft has a YouTube channel? We
I
do.
did. Yeah.
I knew you knew. On that channel, we post our podcasts and we're adding new video content there that you will not want to miss. Directions analyst Rob Horowitz recently kicked off a new Microsoft Licensing Basics series on our YouTube channel, and his first episode called Units of Measure is up there now. And this is meant to help you learn how Microsoft charges customers for its products and services. In that video, Rob covers everything from per user and per device licenses to capacity and consumption licenses and gotchas that are associated with them. We also have a great explainer of Microsoft's AI strategy from our analyst, Barry Briggs. Barry covers everything from processors to copilots to agents to RAG apps, models, AI development and management tools, and more, all in a 1 hour video. To make sure you don't miss any of our new content, you should subscribe today to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/@directionsonmicrosoft. Okay, now we're going back to Andrew and the growing alarm bells for on-prem software. So let's talk, we haven't talked about this much yet, software life cycles. As you pointed out in your report, they're getting shorter. The 10-year, 5 years of mainstream, 5 years of extended support increasingly is a thing of the past. And if you aren't ready when a product exits support, extended security updates from Microsoft, if they're available, are a very pricey way to keep using products like Windows Server and SQL Server, right?
And we have debates at work all the time about ESUs, these extended security
Yep.
updates, and if they're any value or not. And I'm on the side of them being valuable in certain situations, but we'll see about that. But this whole idea of continual updates and the software life cycle on it. Now, this is where you really see the other side of SE, right? So the subscription edition. I don't know why it's so hard for me to say subscription edition. I think I just have a mental resistance to it. Maybe that's it. But with SE, this is where we have continual update requirements, okay? And that's different from the past. Instead of cumulative updates or service packs like we had for most of our software, SE versions have frequent updates, monthly, quarterly, usually quarterly for on-prem, that most importantly, you have to install in order to get support. All right. So the idea of setting up a server and leaving it alone for a year or two, that idea you need to put to the side. That's gone. Okay. Your teams need to change and have a plan for these SE versions to update at least quarterly. Okay. And that's just so that you're compliant with the software. Now, that means touching the servers more frequently. It means performing tests and validation processes more frequently because you're actually doing an update to the server product. And that's why we typically like to leave service packs as long as we could, because if it's running, if it's not broken, you don't touch it. Now we're going to have to touch it more often. The thing that, if it's okay for me to digress a little bit here, is this where I think Microsoft's been really clever from a financial standpoint. Okay, by having these frequent updates, it cuts down on their support efforts. Okay, they no longer have 3 to 4 versions of a product that are in various cumulative update or service pack phases out there that all need support. Instead, what they'll have in a few years is one version of each product and one update of each product. And that's going to cut down on their support efforts dramatically and cut down on their costs while still maintaining the same user base. Okay. I know I digress a little bit,
No, I think that's
but
important for people to know. Like, I don't think that if you haven't thought through the whole set of repercussions of this, it's good to think ahead, right?
well, it is. I mean, it's going to increase our customers' support requirements and how often they touch things and how often they do upgrades and updates. But that's not for their own benefit. That's for Microsoft's benefit.
Right.
So that's why I think they're really clever in the way they did that.
Yep.
But if you want to stay on a software product past its end of life. Okay, this is where we get into those ESUs, the extended security updates. Okay, and this is a special subscription that you can buy that will allow you to take a version of a software like Windows or SQL or any of the rest that will let you stay on it for another 1 to 3 years. Okay, and we have an ongoing debate about this at work because it's really expensive, right? So I think for like each year, it's almost the original purchase price of the product. So it's very pricey.
And it so doubles each year too, right?
So I don't so I don't think people are going to want to use this very often,
right?
But occasionally there could be a good reason to use an ESU, you know. And maybe we should have a counter podcast on this sometime.
I know. But I think we should too.
Yeah, because I've got a situation where somebody's got a massive site and they're running Windows Server on a particular version on old equipment. And for whatever reason, they're not able to do an upgrade on it this year. Mm-hmm. Okay. Put an ESU on it. Let it sit for a year. It's expensive, but it might be less expensive than the alternative. So who knows? We'll see.
Yeah. Okay. I'm curious if you have kind of a summing up set of thoughts around warnings, advice, recommendations that you would give our listeners to help them think about the future of on-premises software. I know, big question, but I'm sure you have things to weigh in on.
We have conversations about this all the time.
Yeah.
You know, some of the big warnings are to remember that the on-prem software that you're using will continue to fall behind the cloud. Okay. And eventually, this is the other big warning, eventually everything that you do on premises will also require a subscription and possibly a cloud connection. Okay. So don't think you're getting away from the cloud the cloud subscription model. That's kind of coming to you on prem anyway, and there's going to be some twists that are there that might not be beneficial to you. Mm. You know, the one I look at is like the feature gap. Okay. If you take a look at SharePoint on-prem and SharePoint in the cloud, cloud obviously has more functionality, more capabilities. There's Copilot integrated. There's all kinds of AI features, there's security controls. There's all kinds of things that come with the cloud service that you don't get on-prem. Okay. And so you get in this feature gap that's growing. Now, with something like SharePoint in particular, and maybe even SQL Server in the future, one of the concerns I have there is for hybrid customers. If you have an on-prem deployment and you have a cloud deployment and you want to share data between them, well, you're running into two products that have distinctly different feature sets, mm-hmm. right? And so what you do and customize in one environment won't work in another environment. We've already seen that for a number of years with Power BI service, the cloud service and the report server on-prem, same kind of scenario there. Oh, and you can put Power BI report server in that list up there because that's a subscription capability as well. Mm-hmm. So when I take a look at that, I don't think Microsoft's going to change that approach. I think they're going to keep defeaturizing, if I can call that a phrase, defeaturizing on-prem software.
Yeah.
Okay. And even in some cases, they are going to start requiring a cloud component. Okay. So whether it's in the deployment side or in the management side or the security updates or any of the rest of that, I think they will continue to say that for certain features, you have to be connected to Azure. You have to have a cloud subscription in order to get these facilities or these features to work on-prem. And right. And there's a whole host of those. We're not going to spend time going through it, but there's a lot of those things we're already starting to see in the security realm. So if I were to sum up and say some recommendations on this, mm-hmm. if you're currently on-prem and you're using on-prem software, I would start by reevaluating your use cases. Okay. You should take a look at what you have on-prem and see if that decision you made 3 or 5 years ago for maintaining that on-prem and keeping it there is still valid. You know, there's a lot that's changed in the cloud. There's a lot that's changed with Azure. And some of the limitations that may have made you make a decision to say, I'm going to stay on-prem in this environment, those things may not exist anymore, or there might be more comfort in moving that to the cloud anyway. Okay. Anyway, it's time to take a look at those all over again and just reassess it.
Okay.
The other one is if you're going to stay on-prem, then you need to plan for budget increases. Okay. There are going to be more frequent updates, more frequent testing. And once you're on the hook for a subscription, you know, you're going to be paying for this year on year on year. And if you think Microsoft is going to keep the cost, the price of that thing the same, then you're kind of fooling yourself. These things are going to become more expensive. More functionality is going to require different subscriptions and different features that are all going to raise your cost. And so once you look at these SE versions, this on-prem stuff and subscription editions, don't think that what you're looking at for the first year will be your only cost. Plan for those things to increase year on year.
Okay.
I know it's not good news, but
that's good news.
That's what we tell people. Yeah.
But helpful news. So thank you so much for sharing that. And I think it's really going to be useful for people who are still living in the on-prem world.
Yeah. I do too. Yeah. And I've got lots of friends who are doing this that, and some of them don't have an option. You know, it's just the way that things run. They have to have the equipment there. And so you got to live with it.
Yep. True. Okay. On that note, I'd like to remind our listeners that they can find lots more coverage of all things Microsoft related on directionsonmicrosoft.com. Thank you so much for listening. If you have questions, comments, or any topics that you would like to hear the directions analysts cover in one of these podcasts, please do not hesitate to contact me via X or Blue Sky. We at Directions have converged our existing social media channels into a single platform. So give us a follow at Directions MSFT on X or Directions on Microsoft on Blue Sky for all of the latest Microsoft enterprise product and licensing information. Thanks again.